You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and with Priya Crosby. Our main topic for this week is sleep. We spend a third of our lives doing it, and in fact some animals spend over 80% of their lives asleep. And we asked you at the beginning of the programme in our quiz for this week, can you tell us which animal does that? Andrew in Huntingdon is speculating by email, chris@thenakedscientist.com, that it's the dormouse. I can tell you, Andrew, it's a good guess, but it's not the right one. Priya.
But what's the purpose of sleep? Why do we need it? And why does it become a problem for some people? Tim Cornell is a consultant at the Sleep Centre at Papworth Hospital.
Sleep is about a transition from when we're fully alert and interacting with our immediate environment. When we go to sleep, consciousness gradually drops. There are several levels of sleep and types of sleep, so very light sleep isn't always perceived by someone. But fairly rapidly, at the beginning of the night, we'll go into quite deep non-dreaming sleep. And it's called slow wave sleep because the brain waves slow down. And that's, if you like, the big money sleep that fills up the sleep bank, pays back the debt of wakefulness, because one of the chief drives to sleep is how long you've been awake beforehand. So we'll go into deep non-REM sleep, and after a cycle of sleep lasting about an hour, our sleep will lighten and we'll go into dream sleep. And that's called rapid eye movement sleep, or REM sleep. So that's a different type of sleep. And in fact, when they've looked at brains with special imaging during dream sleep, the brain is as active as wakefulness, but we are nonetheless asleep. And then once we've had some dreaming, we'll go back to non-REM sleep again, and the cycles continue through the night. As the night proceeds, there is less deep sleep because the sleep bank is being filled up, if you like, the debt is being paid off, and there is more dream sleep.
Roughly how long is any one of these cycles, into a cycle of non-REM and then REM sleep?
It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours. But it varies greatly through the night and between individuals.
And so we've got a concept of what normal sleep looks like. How do we define a sleep disorder? I mean, a lot of us will have a night or a few nights when we struggle to sleep, but when does that, what I would call normal inability to sleep, become a disorder?
All of us can have a bad night now and again. Perhaps if we've got something big happening the next day, we might not sleep so well. If it becomes more deeply entrenched than that, so perhaps if there's a reason to not sleep well one night, but then that reason has happened the next day, but our sleep problem persists, that might be starting to become a disorder. It's when it becomes over several weeks or months. And that's really what I'm talking about there, is typically insomnia, which is commonly experienced, where people can't sleep very well at night. But there are other disorders which typically gradually develop, and they are specific disorders of breathing or where the brain's control of sleep and wake becomes dysfunctional.
So you mentioned insomnia. Do we know exactly what happens when someone has insomnia? We all have an impression that they struggle to sleep, but do we know what's going on at a sort of more neurological level?
There's not a lot known about why people have insomnia. There's some evidence that people with insomnia seem to be hyper-aroused. When you look at their brainwaves during sleep, they seem to not be having such a deep, solid sleep, but there's no clear understanding as to why. There are some other sleep disorders which present as insomnia. For example, there's a condition called restless leg syndrome, where legs are fidgety, particularly late in the night when people are tired and finally lying down to go to sleep, and the legs become uncomfortable and there's an urge to move them, and that can disrupt sleep and cause insomnia. And then there are other disorders of breathing, where we stop and start breathing without necessarily knowing about it, but what the patient can be aware of is of poor sleep because they're constantly interrupted by the breathing pauses.
You mentioned there problems with breathing disorders. Is that just a disruption of sleep? What exactly happens there?
Sure. So obstructive sleep apnea is what I'm talking about, and that's probably the commonest breathing disorder during sleep, aside from insomnia. And what happens with obstructive sleep apnea is that the throat relaxes and closes or becomes very narrow so that breathing becomes obstructed. And so, if you like, the person suffering from obstructive sleep apnea is choking themselves awake repeatedly during the night. Usually they only wake up for a few seconds, so they don't remember it. But what that means is that their sleep is peppered by brief awakenings. And so typically what happens, if it's frequent enough, is that they wake up unrefreshed by their sleep and they're sleepy during the day.
What can we do if someone has obstructive sleep apnea?
People can have suggested symptoms. We have to take them forward for tests to confirm the diagnosis. And then we look at how bad their symptoms are and how much apnea is occurring, how many times they're stopping breathing overnight. It may be that simple lifestyle measures would improve the situation. So mild sleep apnea may respond to weight loss because that's a major risk factor for the development of sleep apnea. Sometimes it only happens when someone's lying on their back, so we can talk about measures to avoid sleeping on their back, and that can do the trick. Sometimes if sleep apnea is more severe, then they need specific treatments And one way of treating it is to wear a mask called CPAP, which stands for continuous positive airway pressure. And this is a mask connected to an air pump which blows air through the throat to provide a pneumatic splint to the airway to stop it from flopping shut.
If someone thinks that they might have insomnia, what options are there out there to treat or manage the condition?
Well, many bouts of insomnia settle spontaneously, so it'll be short-lived and it may well relate to something that's going on in someone's life. But if it becomes protracted, it's about taking a step back and looking at what things you might be doing but aren't helping the situation. Has someone got into the bad habit of working very late and then switching their light straight out, having caffeine in the evening, all that sort of stuff? It's looking at the sleep environment. Is it appropriate? Is it quiet, dark, comfortable, that sort of thing? And also, what does happen with insomnia is it tends to feed on itself. So even if the initial stressor that's triggered the insomnia has been dealt with and resolved, the concern and the anxiety about not being able to sleep tends to feed it. The worst thing can happen for insomnia is to be worried about sleeping, because if we do that, then it gets worse. And that really is something that probably most of your listeners will recognise. If they are having a night where they're thinking about something important the next day, they're worrying about that, then they realise they're not sleeping and they start worrying about that, and sleep becomes even more elusive.
Thanks to Tim Cornell from the Sleep Centre at Papworth Hospital. So the best thing for insomnia is actually to stop worrying about it. Easier said than done in my own experience. I find that if you struggle to sleep, you end up just getting into a loop and you get more and more worried about it, and it stops you sleeping altogether.
What did you think stopped you sleeping?
Worrying about not sleeping.
But what do you think got it going in the first place?
I think I had to get up early for a few things. Then you start thinking, oh, I'm going to have 5 hours, or am I going to get four? It just rolls in itself, pretty much.
I know what you mean, though, because when I've been in situations where you worry because you've got a big day ahead, and then you worry because you're not sleeping because you've got a big day ahead, and you're worried about being lethargic and tired the next day, and then actually worrying about not getting enough sleep takes over, doesn't it?